Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. Quick disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are provided for informational purposes only and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or to make or consider any investment or course of action. For more information, go to bestevershow.com.
Do not chase shiny objects and focus on one thing.
Welcome to the Best Ever Show, the world's longest running daily commercial real estate podcast. Our hosts interview commercial real estate experts every day to get you the best advice ever with none of the fluffy stuff.
Best ever listeners, welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Slocum Reed, and today we're joined by Igor Shaltanov and Nikita Volchek. They are founders and managing partners of Avista Fund, based in Los Angeles, California. Avista Fund raises capital for value-add multifamily deals with an emphasis on making investing opportunities available to both international and U.S.-based investors. Currently in their portfolio are 20 different apartment complexes totaling over 3,200 units and accumulative assets under management over $500 million. Igor, Nikita, can you tell us a little bit more about yourselves and your current focus?
It's a pleasure. Slocum, thank you for having us on the show. And just to bring us current, me and Nikita got together in 2020, right? And we said how we can get the best apartment complexes in the United States. And that was a challenging, I would say, challenging task to solve, right? And challenging question to work through, because the only way you can do that back then, if you don't have $20 or $40 million cash to get into the good syndication. And when I say good syndication, I mean it's trustworthy people. They know exactly what they're doing. They've been in business for the last 10 years. They've been through the full cycles. And all of that pushed us to really open the Avista Fund and dig into the operators and dig into the business of syndication in the United States.
So let me ask then, Igor, what is it? You said the best apartment complexes in the U.S. and good syndications. What are those qualifying factors for you all? What is it that you're looking for in a complex and in a syndicator?
It's a good question, Slogan. So when we started, number one, we did a lot of mistakes, right? When we just started. And what I'm saying by mistakes is we didn't know which way we should go. There's a lot of different asset classes, meaning storage facilities, there's apartment complexes, and there's RV parks and all that. Looks really nice on paper. And then there's ground up development. And then there's, that's an asset class. And then there's location as well. So there's Texas and California and then Florida. And all of it is a little confusing, and then you don't know where to go in the beginning. And the, lastly, it's operator. They might be people who just started. They might be people who's been in the business for a while. So we start to really nail down the parameters of where we want to be location-wise, which states, and then we start to really work through the states. Okay, do you want to be in California? Is it more on the tenant side or the landlord side? Because if you enter the syndication, you kind of become the landlord. It's a passive landlord. And you want to make sure the local government and local laws are actually in the favor of owning that apartment complex or managing that thing. Because find a good investment, that's one thing. And then the management piece is, it's a huge factor to the future success of that syndication. So what I'm saying is we start to really search through the operators. And then we found maybe about 350 to 400 different operators. And the next idea was, okay, how we can vet every single operator. So what's going to be the process? We start to create process of vetting those people. Example will be, okay, we want them to be 10 years in business. We want them to be through the multiple full cycles, right, on their business plan. And then next part is how many partners, what are the quality of these people? And then the best way for us to do that was to place our own capital. So without risking capital of our investors first. And this is exactly what we did. So we start to really engage with operators and we start to learn how they actually work, how they operate, how they communicate. Is it good, bad, or ugly? Do they say all of it or maybe they hide something? So basically placing your capital first and then testing them through the real deals, it gives you a lot of insights. You can really understand how they operate and how they work. And then those are just one of the small pieces we started with.
So are you placing more emphasis on making sure you're investing with the right operators or that you're investing in the right kinds of apartment buildings in the right metros with the right laws?
I think it's a balance in between. The team, for us, team is number one, for sure. And again, I'm probably repeating the same idea. You got a good operator, meaning they trustworthy and they upfront, they communicate straight up, then they take in like bold actions on the problems. This might be a mediocre deal. It's not really sexy or maybe not the best deal in the country. But because of that trustworthy operator, they're going to push it through and they're going to make it a really nice deal out of it. Again, that's our personal experience because not all the deals are going perfect. It's always some challenges. And then you can really understand the partner through those challenges. And then, like I said, there's really shiny object, beautiful brand new complex. So the market rents are a lot higher. You're going into that project with, I would say, not really good operator, and this might be a disaster because they don't know what to do. So once they got challenged with some obstacle, it's tough for them to swallow that thing and tough for them to push it through. And now all of a sudden the best deal possible becomes like very, very mediocre deal. So that's one. And then obviously asset class. So we start to really think through the asset class. Is it value add? Is it the brand new complex, which is up and coming area? And there's a lot of employees are coming into the area. And we know it's going to be employment opportunities for the next 10, 20 years because the huge nationwide employer just moved in. And there's a bunch of new ones coming in as well, meaning we can sit out and just appreciate the rents every year. Or it's just a value add and it's just a B minus, let's say, apartment complex, but then it's a really good location. And then we can do really deep value add and then increase that rent. And again, it really depends. We really look at the location. We look at the employment and we look at the area. I would say, what's the master plan development? What's going on with that piece of land? I would say, was that bigger picture, I would say, bigger location-wise. It's not even the state. Maybe it's a certain cities, right? Maybe it's certain local areas where there's a lot of development going on and employment moving into the state and moving into that city.
Thus far, for those of you who are listening and not watching, Igor has done all of the talking. Let me ask, between the two of you, what is it that each of you specializes in?
It's a really good question. Do you want to start, Nikita?
Thank you. We are pretty different with Igor. If I can answer it just in short, I'm about numbers and Igor is about relationships. And it's our nature. I'm studying math, pure math when I was young, when in school, I mean, in a university. Yeah. And I love numbers and I love business processes and I love to see everything like a system. And I love to build everything like a system. And the Igor, he's about relationships. So he's really good in it. And that's a simple answer.
Yes, welcome. So what we did, if you let me introduce myself a little bit, so we start to separate the business process. And there's two very important pieces, right? One is relationship. It's a relationship business, right? You got to build strong relations with both sides. So I've got operator on one side, which is a business partner, and we've got investor on the other side. And both of those sides should be really tied up with relationships. Communication, follow-up, feedback, and then just adjustments as well. And on my side, it's always relationship, right? And then building new relationships, building new partnerships. And then Nikita's side is a structure of his mind. Again, if I'm building relationships and we're not structuring that thing, so what's the value of that thing? It's not a lot, because after, like, I would say a couple months and 3 months from now, if it's not structured, it's just fading away right away. So, and then on the deal specific side, opening up the spreadsheets, analyzing the deal, going through pro forma, because Nikita will tell me, I hear you, blah, 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 send me a spreadsheet, which is a great cutoff thing. So that's a great check, because I come back sometimes, oh, I got super good deal. The guys are amazing. So she was like, okay, let's look at the spreadsheet. Let's punch it in. If it's not working, it's not working. And then we just sit down and sure enough, it's not working. I was like, okay, I got maybe too excited. And again, this is a really good check and balances in the partnership we have. And then the fun, because again, it's a both pieces always. It's relationship and the structure and the detail-oriented process.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense for sure. I personally end up more on the people side with a major emphasis right now on identifying people who are trustworthy, who can handle the responsibility, who I can trust with my weaknesses. I am good at math, but definitely wear out looking at spreadsheets much faster than Nikita likely does. So I get where you're coming from there. I have a theme for our conversation in mind, but I have a couple of questions I need to ask before I can get to it. When a Vista fund is engaging with a value-add multifamily syndicator, are you part of the general partnership, or is the Vista fund investing purely passively as a limited partner?
We are a limited partner right now. And we have no GP positions. What's a general partner? That's right. You got to be engaged and you got to be doing a certain part of the deal, meaning going on the meetings, you're doing asset management, all that stuff. So what we really focus on being really good at one thing. So just raising capital. Number one, finding the good deals. Number two, raising capital. And then just that one piece of finding a good deal, it's not, again, from my experience, it's not easy. So it took us a long time to really understand where we want to be, number one. Number two, it took us a longer time right now, especially in this environment right now, to find a really good, appealing deal to investors. And then just speaking of your question, right, the LP position, and there's no JP right now.
I think what I'm most curious about here personally, and hopefully our listeners will agree or at least follow along with me, I really want to ask how it is that you are creating alignment of interest with the general partners that you invest with the investors whose capital you bring into the fund to deploy into the syndicated apartment deals that you all choose with the operators that you decide to work with. As fund managers, let me start by asking, outside of the capital that you deploy yourselves within the fund and the returns that you get on that capital, how is it that you all as managers of a fund are being compensated?
There's multiple layers on that. And probably one of the most important things is how good is the deal? The deal is good. You'll find compensation and you'll find a way to compensate yourself always. And this is the hard part on us, to find a good deal, meaning everybody wins. The operator wins, the investors win, and then the fund managers, us, we win as well.
Igor, can I make a couple of assumptions
yes.
here to kind of lay the groundwork for my questions? Please correct me where I'm wrong, but a major value that you're adding to all of the other parties involved in a transaction is, from the point of the general partnership, as a fund, you are able to bring significantly more capital to their deals than you could as individual investors, because you have a pool of investors who are looking to you for great opportunities. So you can provide a lot more capital than general partners could get otherwise, or just from Igor and Nikita. part of the value that you're bringing to the people who invest in your fund is that they are getting your expertise and your effort in cherry picking the best opportunities for them to be invested in a part of, as long as they're doing it for your fund. So you're bridging this gap between people who have capital who want to get it invested and operators who are looking to raise capital for their deals. So within that understanding, that you're creating significant value on both sides in making the connection between the capital and the opportunity. I'm genuinely curious, because what you're doing is something I have not personally engaged in commercial real estate investing yet. Mm-hmm. As fund managers, making the assumption that you've found a good deal, a good operator, you can talk about what makes a deal good if that's what you think is most beneficial, but how is it that you're being compensated as fund managers?
Yeah, and it's very, very simple actually to respond to that. So again, if the deal is good, and we always get the better returns because we bring in more capital. Again, it's a partnership and relationship business. So we always talk to the partners saying, so if we bring in you $1 million, let's make a $1 million mark, right? So we're getting better rate returns on our money. Otherwise, the retail investors going directly into the deal, they're not going to be able to get that type of return, right, or a percentage, or a split, let's say. And then from that split, on our fund level, we just compensate ourselves. And at the end of the day, it's becoming even better, more lucrative for investors to go through us, because we have a power to negotiate better terms. Is that the question?
It does. Correct me again where I'm wrong. I've heard this called a fund of funds model, where individual investors are getting a better return because the returns that you can garner from general partners are greater, or the splits, depending on how you look at it, are greater because of the amount of capital that Avista can bring by comparison to your average retail investor. I want to dive into the nitty-gritty, but I really want to make sure I understand first. So you're creating a better return for the investors than they could get on their own. And you are negotiating with the general partners a larger piece of the pie than you are sharing with your investors. And the sliver of the pie that is the difference, you're keeping a part of that for yourselves. Exactly. Is that fair?
Yes, correct. And then we're not breaking any rules as well, because we're doing it on our fund level. We can do whatever we want,
of course,
inside of our entity, and it's not considered the capital raising. So, and that's one.
Yeah, and assuming that the deal is well executed on and there's a successful exit, everybody wins, because the GP got their capital raised. They got it raised more quickly, more efficiently, and your investors got a better return than they would have on their own. Not to mention, they also benefited from the vetting process that you put the operators through to make sure their money was going to the right place.
That's one example. The other example, the last deal we actually have done, the partner, the operator, has not been willing to talk to people unless they bring in $1 million.
We'll get back to the show with first some sponsors I'm confident you'll find value in learning more about. If you're an investor like me, you're probably looking for one platform to manage the banking and finance needs of your entire portfolio. The good news is there is one. It's called Baselane. And it's the number one banking platform built for independent real estate investors that reduces busy work so you can focus on growing your business. With Baselane, you can earn up to a 4.19% annual percentage yield and 5% cash back on debit card spending with no monthly fees. With a simplified view of your cash flow and expenses, you can retire those tedious spreadsheets. You can also manage unlimited virtual accounts and cards, and even open separate accounts for each property or unit. Join more than 40,000 real estate investors who trust Baselane for their banking, property management, and bookkeeping. Head over to baselane.com/Joe and sign up today for a chance to win a $500 Amazon gift card. That's baselane.com/Joe.
So those are opportunities that aren't even available to most retail investors.
Yeah, there's no chance for the retail investor to be part of that deal. And it's a very good deal. Let's say it's 20%+ IRR. So 20%+. And I'm very conservative on my numbers right now. And they say, so we would love to have person. And again, $1 million, that's what we want to see from people. And now the question is, how many people can afford to get $1 million with cash liquid with this operator?
And then put it all into one basket.
That's what I'm saying. That's another
and put it all into one deal without any diversification in that million. Yeah.
Even us, we would probably not put $1 million in a single deal because we know exactly how it goes. Sometimes it's amazing. Sometimes it's average. And sometimes you don't lose it. Maybe one out of 50, you might lose half of the principal, right? Or maybe full principal. Again, if so. But then what I'm saying is, if you bet on $1 million in one deal, that might be a little too risky, right? Maybe a little too much stuff you're putting in one basket.
And don't forget that the first of maybe, as I want to say that, we are searching and searching the good deals. So that's a lot of work, a lot of work, because the first steps you're searching, you make like a funnel of the operators, checking it. We have a checklist for this. And after that, so you build the funnel for deals. That's a lot of work. And that's the value for investors.
I'm thinking, not necessarily for myself, but to have a better understanding of the fund-to-funds business model, and for our listeners who are engaged in this or who are interested, whether it's on the capital raiser side within a general partnership or whether it is with retail investors who are feeling like they need better opportunities to be made available to them. First, let me reiterate for the listeners that no individual investment opportunities are being made available during this podcast. That's not the point. That's not what we're here for. But I'm curious, there's a margin between the returns you're making available to your investors that's still higher than what they'd get on their own, and the returns that a Vista fund is getting themselves. And the difference, that margin is where you benefit as fund managers. So give us an idea, if you need to use examples, that works great. Give us an idea of what that margin looks like on your deals.
Do you want to chime in, Nikita?
Yeah, I'm more quiet than eager. Yes.
Because you're the numbers guy. Well, let me frame it a couple of different ways. I'm planning to ask these kinds of questions more and more often on the podcast because I find this not only fascinating, but very valuable for people to understand, especially if they are not real estate professionals in this space full-time the way that the three of us are. There are a lot of different ways that I could see fund managers being compensated, a lot of different ways that general partners and capital raisers are compensated as well. If you look at the acquisition fee model of compensation, there's compensation directly linked to activity that is not directly linked to results. However, when you look at waterfall distributions, what kinds of splits a deal is on, those tend to come into play more often when there has been success. So looking at other people involved actively in the investment opportunity, if they're taking less compensation up front and less activity-based compensation, like transactional compensation or liquidity event fees, and more of their opportunity, more of their compensation is tied directly to the performance of the asset and the returns garnered globally, then you have a greater dependence on the success of the deal in order to get paid. And that can create great alignment of interest for investors who are coming into this completely passively, to know that the people who are investing their money are making money primarily when there has been success and they will see a return. So all that being said, can you give us some examples? Has a Vista fund gone full cycle yet?
On a couple of deals, yes.
Okay. So could you speak to what the returns look like on those deals?
These returns was pretty high because the exit was 2023. And as I remember, the one exit was that for a whole deal, I mean, the distribution was the back end when we get. So it was, as I remember, about 23%. That was really high. That's not as we are usually, waiting from the multifamily. We expecting to get on the whole cycle not less than 15 and just more close to 20% per year. For example, if it's 5-year cycle, so you can get 6 preferred return per year with a distribution, plus minus, and 12 per year, for example. The average that we are looking for, that we are searching, not let, it's about 18%+ for the whole cycle per year. So it's about double every 4 to 5 years. Double the capital for 4 or 5 years. That's our expecting. So one deal, as I remember, was a 23% per year, but it was short. It was for maybe two and a half years. It wasn't a deal. And the second one, I don't remember, but I think it's about 20.
So looking at average annual returns of 20 and 23, those are the global returns for the whole deal?
It's not 23. I'm sorry. It's about 18, 20. That's where just...
18 to 20% average annual returns.
18 to 20, yes. Yes, but that's the pair, risk and return.
Of course.
And the risk for us is the first point. If the risk is below our level that we are looking for, yes, we are ready to go the return, okay? So, and no, 23, it's a lot of, I mean, maybe in the land deals, that's okay, but for multifamily, for our risk management, that's a lot. I think from 18 to 20, that's okay.
When we're looking at average annual returns of 18 to 20% globally, what have they looked like for your investors?
If you look at the inside of the fund, we do the sourcing fee. And what is that for us? It's actually the work when we go out and check the operator and we check the project. And I would say it's between 3% and 5%. This is what we're going to charge from the investors. Basically, there's a couple of things we need to, and it's upfront. And there's a couple of things we have to cover. We can't sustain the fund level. It's a legal fee because we got to put up the paperwork together. We got to file with each state, whatever the investor came from. You can do it yourself, but we would rather always rely on a really good attorney. So that's one. And then the second one, it's a second level, I would say, it's a distribution. Let's say the retail distribution is 6%, but we actually get 8%. There's a delta of 2%, and it's up to us. We might want to share 1% saying we're getting better return for investor. It's not 6, it's at 7, and we keep 1% for ourselves. That's another level. Now we got two levels. And level number 3, this is exactly what you said about alignment between us. And again, it's not a huge deal, but we always put our own money into every single deal as of today. So every single deal is with our own capital, our family capital. And this is number one, right? Alignment. And it's not on the fund level. It's just, I would say it's on the internal level as a person. So do you trust that deal? I do with my own money. That's why I'm giving that deal, giving that opportunity to investors. And then, like I said, the last piece is back-end distributions. What's the split looks like? Is it 70-30? And usually I see numbers 60-40 to retail investors with 50 or 100K coming in by himself. Could be as low as 60-40. So where he gets 60%, an operator will take 40. Why? Because he's bringing 50K. And how much work do you need to do to accommodate that 50K and talk to that person and respond to the same question? Because if person put down $500,000 and person who put down 50K, and I'll speak through the experience, a lot of times there's a lot more work with 50K person than $500,000 person, right? Because they ask him more questions. They just, maybe second time, third time into the syndication deals, right? They're not sure. They kind of worry. They might be nervous and all that stuff. And that comes with questions. They always keep you with a question. Oh, what's going on here? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, we missed distributions and now we got a little bit more. So anyways, what I'm saying is there's a last alignment piece and there's a last split as well. So when we get a better economics on the back end, and this is exactly what you say, this is how we align the investor with our own fund. Meaning, if we're not getting better economics, if we're not getting that deal done the way it's supposed to be done, we get zero compensation. The priority is investor, it's not us. So we'll always put the priority as investor. So if we had 70-30 and there's not enough of return, right, it always goes to investor. The full amount goes to investor first.
That makes a lot of sense. Unfortunately, we're running short on time. So are you all ready for the best ever lightning round?
Oh yeah, for sure.
What is the best ever book you recently read?
This is one of my favorite questions. There's one book I'm reading, I would say, every single day, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And I'll tell you one thing. I started to read that book maybe 7 years ago. And sure enough, and I'm not making up the thing. I just read the chapter yesterday. And I read a lot of books in between. But then this is the one book I come back all the time. So this is, I would say, a very transformative book. And when I feel uncertain, or I feel like I'm stuck, or I feel like I need some help or push, I always come back by default to that book, Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich.
What is your best ever way to give back?
This is my second favorite question. Actually, before we started, right, investing in Vista Fund itself, I was engaging with children, kids. We were coaching kids. And then my first education is be a teacher and coach. And I feel like there's nothing better but teach or maybe show or share your personal experience with a person and make them better. This is the best feeling you can get. So what I'm saying is engaging with children, I still coach the team to this day. Why? Because I feel like it's my give back to community. I want to make sure I teach sports, I teach basketball. But really through the basketball, I teach them how to come through the obstacles, how the life is going to be challenging in the future. And it's not for you to back out, right? Not for you to give up. It's for you to go through that experience and learn something. And I think the sports and engaging with children is super beneficial. And I feel like I'm giving back to community right when I engage with youth.
Bonus lightning round question. Will you all be at the Best Ever Conference in April?
We will be.
Gotcha. It's April 9th to the 12th. The information is at besteverconference.com. There will be projecting around 1,000 commercial real estate investors, mostly passive, mostly retail investors, but quite a few operators there. We have some great keynote speakers and panels involved. This year, the conference is breaking down the afternoon sessions into passive investing, operations, and entrepreneurship. So business building effectively within commercial real estate. So there are opportunities for people who are specialized in each of those things to get exactly the information that they're looking for and network with the other people who are doing what they're doing. Not to mention capital raisers, people who are in investor relations, having the opportunity to meet a lot of investors and also meet a lot of operators who are operating at a high level whose deals they may be interested in. I've always been impressed. This will be my third time going. The wide range of people who will be there, the wide range of deals and opportunities, and also the fact that you can find people who are seeing high levels of success. Regardless, in spring 2022, it felt like everyone was having success everywhere, but that was not the case in spring of 2023. But there were still people in the room who were high returns and taking advantage of opportunities they found on market. That's besteverconference.com. It's in Salt Lake City. And there's a discount code for the listeners right now. It is CONNECT, C-O-N-N-E-C-T, 15% off tickets if you don't have your tickets already.
Sounds really cool.
Couple more questions. Igor, Nikita, on the deals that you have funded, what's the biggest mistake you've made and the best ever lesson that resulted from it?
We made a decision to invest only at multifamily projects, but we did not. In our five first projects, we have two, I think. One is ground up multifamily and another one is the multifamily with a really, really big construction. And that was a fault. Because in these two projects, we have issues with the time, we have issues with the construction budget, so we have all these issues. And we learned that we want to be in a value-add multifamily with a really low renovation, with a simple renovation only. If we're talking about the fund, if we're talking about our mistakes in our way with the Avista fund, that's, I think, was the main mistakes. What do you think, Igor?
Yeah, the brand new construction was the biggest problem for us, and then again, we didn't lose the principal, but it was shrank pretty much to tens, right? And probably single digits. And the lesson was not to invest in the construction thing, right? So yes, sorry, I wanted second piece. And we shifted over to existing, and it's, you can touch it, it's already built, right? And you might want to touch it as less as possible, but still finding the creative way to add the value into that building.
On that note, what is your best ever advice?
Mine is do not chase shiny objects and focus on one thing.
Last question, where can our listeners get in touch with you?
They can download the ebook. We have a website. They can go to winrealestategame.com. Once again, it's winrealestategame.com and download the ebook, How to Become a Champion of the Syndication Business.
Nice. And that link is in the show notes. Igor, Nikita, thank you. Best ever listeners, thank you as well for tuning in. If you've gained value from this episode, please do subscribe to our show. Leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend you know we can add value to through our conversation today. Thank you and have a best ever day.
Hi, best ever listeners. Joe Fairless here again. And one last thing before you go, would you like to receive a short weekly email with proven tips from experienced investors, free tools and resources, and a roundup of the week's most relevant news and best ever content? Well, if so, join the community of nearly 15,000 commercial real estate passive and active investors who receive the best ever newsletter. Just go to bestevercre.com/access and you'll get the very next one. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And as always, thank you for listening and have a best ever day.